We're glad you made it. Who was not here last week? Sorry, we're not kind of like reporting to the principal. Just want to, hands nice and high, who was not here last week. Okay, great. Thank you for that. These next few thoughts are really just particularly for you, but also for the rest of us who probably had a good old sleep during the sermon, or if you're like me, you forget 2 days later. Because there's information overload, you know, there's texting coming in, there's WhatsApp, there's Messenger coming in, there's Viber, there's emails, I mean, verbal, it's just all coming in. It's hard to keep it all together, isn't it? So sometimes you've got to let some things, less important things go. Last week was not one of them. Last week, we had a great time sharing. Who was here last week? Who had a great time? I want to make sure every single person that calls this church their family, I want to make sure you get one of these. And these are now sitting up on the book table there. We gave them out last week. Last week was a very important moment. And if you're visiting today, welcome. We're glad you're here. But this is part two of 2 weeks of really in-house kind of business. We try to have two or three Sundays a year where we communicate vision and direction, because this ain't random. This is not just come to a meeting, go home. Well, actually, it's part of a bigger adventure and moving forward. And you may have noticed that most of our songs up there were missional songs. There's actually a new genre of worship that every nation's created called missional worship. Songs that aren't just about me, 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 and my feelings and my needs, but songs that are declaring God's plan for the church to move forward. We will go heal our land. This is 2 weeks where we kind of get our attention off ourselves and we look at a lost world. We look at the mission of this church and get behind that and be a part of that and move forward. Is that cool? Now turn to your neighbor, say, are you paying attention? Fantastic. The first thing we want to say, and I'm just going to really quickly recap before we get into a short homily about where we want to go. But last week, we showed you 6 key performance indicators as a church. We looked at our total attendance. We looked at kids. We looked at connect groups, new members added to the church, more salvations, more baptisms. We put up like kind of 6 dials. And I'm really, really glad to let you know that over the last 12 months, every single one of those dials is pointing north. We are growing in every, whichever way you look at it, we're growing. In fact, we've been growing ever since we were birthed just about over three years ago now. And so last week, we took some time to really honor God, because it's God who brings the growth ultimately. We can't change hearts and lives. We can't manipulate things. We're just going to obey what God said, do everything with a good motive, and trust Him to move powerfully. Unless God opens up someone's heart, it's not going to happen. So it was really, really wonderful. So seriously, what we did is we went Facebook Live because we patched in Every Nation Tauranga, the church we planted just last October. They were on Facebook Live. It actually worked. It was like Kiwi ingenuity. We stitched it all together, made it work. It actually happened. Unfortunately, there was a transmission break. So the technical people downloaded both live videos, they fused them together, and we've put that whole thing on our Facebook page. Please, if this is your house and you weren't here last week, please go to Every Nation Auckland Central Facebook page and watch that video. Not because I really want you to look at me, but I want you to hear the spirit and the plans, and I can't go all over it again, but I don't want to leave anybody behind because we're growing, but God's put specific plans in our heart, and it's all actually in here as well. But some things that are not in here that were shared last week. Is everybody with me? Please, maybe turn off the TV for half an hour. Go to that thing and actually watch the video. And I wanted you to get that in your heart so we're all perfectly aware about what's happening over the next 12 months. Sound cool? So, making 45 brand new disciples. That's because every life counts. We're not random. We've got a specific goal that we're going on. That's actually broken down by department. We're establishing 28 connect groups because people want authentic community. It's not just a case of growing here. We want relationships. We don't want to be looking at someone's neck. We want to actually build and share and grow together, right? goal this year is reigniting our Every Nation Youth Ministry. It's a happening, baby, every Friday night. It's awesome. Okay, number four, launching a whole bunch of discipleship tools. Disciple Makers is happening. ENLI is coming back. Hallelujah. Resurgence, remodeled, revamped. Hallelujah. Okay, number five, we let you all know we're looking now to purchase a commercial property. We have $200,000 in the bank. We have a further pledge of $100,000 outside of the miracle offering campaign. Soon we'll have $300,000. Again, I can't spend 5 minutes on this, but we covered all that last week. The background, the detail, why we're doing a commercial property, etc. But we've got to get our money out of a term deposit in the bank. It just means we're going backwards. So that's really exciting, which leads me to the next goal, which we did last week, and we're going to bang that up there. The other decision that we have made is we are going to lease a property. We're going to consolidate our worship on Sunday, our offices, our training, and everything we do to one facility where we can be together and not have to set up and pack down and tire our volunteers out. Also, packing up and set down damages, our equipment. Hallelujah. We can put our energies, we can put our efforts into people, into making disciples. We can actually use the building. It's only a tool. It's not about the building. But we're hoping we can have a cafe and a hangout area. If we've got custom-made kids' church rooms that we could maybe run a daycare there, who knows, during the week and utilize that facility. Community, man, English lessons, migrant orientation, parenting courses. We can do all of that and stop renting buildings and stop all this packing up and sitting down. And actually, that actually restrains what we do because we just don't have a home. If we take the collective rent of this place and our offices down the road and add about 40K a year, we can have 500 to 700 square meters of space. We're looking, just go back to that slide, please, Frank. We are looking in Auckland Central, hopefully close to public transportation for students and people to come. And so we are pretty darn excited about that. Isn't that right? Listen to this, Isaiah 54:2. And this really was catching the spirit of it. Isaiah is a crazy kind of book, a lot of prophetic stuff going on, a lot of imagery and metaphors. And what Isaiah does is God downloads this kind of picture of a barren woman. In those days, it was a very difficult thing for a woman. She had no means of taking care. But he used a metaphor of a woman who couldn't have a baby. And God promised that she would have so many descendants that she'd have to lengthen her house, enlarge it, go through a building project. Because those days, they lived often in tents. It says, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants, your children, your children's children, got nothing right now, got absolutely, God does miracles. Remember all, there's so many stories in the Bible, isn't there? Abraham and Sarah, I'm going to give you so many babies, you got to actually go upgrade and extend your walls and get more rooms. He says, your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate places inhabited. I've been marinating on that. It's just beautiful to see a faith coming through. It's time to buy land. It's time to get a leased property and actually move forward. Let's go to the next slide if we could, please. I'm just quickly trying to get through this. I just want to honor you all for your generosity. Over and above our tithing, the first time we've ever done like a miracle offering, I believe. We've done $20 Sundays and back in the days, little balls and bits and pieces that frankly really produced very little money. We just did a call, Cast Vision, we did a call, and we gave $40,000 collectively in addition to $55,000 in our bank. So there we go, there's your $55,000. We added $40,000 last year, that more than doubled. Our church didn't double, but it more than doubled our giving, which tells me good things. Either we're catching the vision of getting our own place or just an increased generosity. I'm not sure. Maybe someone won the lotto. I'm not sure. But we had $86,000 last year. This year, we're believing for $150,000 to come in on our miracle offering. Amen. That's just change. But here's what's going to happen. I want you to know something. We've already got $50,000 in. I went to the staff, went to the elders. It's been a lot of work, actually, a lot of meetings. casting vision, saying, we have to lead. Joshua had to step into the river before everybody else did. We cannot go to the people until we have taken this in prayer. And I required our staff. Actually, I felt it was important. Our elders and our staff were required to give. It was not an option to say no. The amount's up to you, between you and God, but you've got to give for us to stand here in good conscience and lead the way. And so we have, and collectively, we got $40,000 just in 22 giving units. By the way, that included two children below the age of 10 who both collectively gave $200. Children under 10. Some people believe we can do it. That stirs my faith. And then we as a church are going to put 10K in from our general fund. So we have $50,000. I'm here today to ask you, will you stand with me? Will you join with the leadership of this church? Believe God and bring in another $100,000. And we're going to take the whole $150,000. The first use of those funds will be for the fit out and for the setup of our facility. Oh man, I can see it now, the atmosphere. I can see the lighting and the carpet and the couches. We can see the temperature control, the air conditioning, the seating, the children's rooms, the LCD screens. We can have something that's contemporary, that's relevant, that's comfortable, as a great tool for us to engage the community, bring people through, and do church better. Amen. When we get that, by the way, next year, by this time next year, we'll have it. We're planning on doing it in December, November, December. Our lease ends at the office. We're looking for, as soon as Alfred gets back from Philippines, we're going to be looking for that property, that 150K. We may not need it all there. If the balance is left over, we'll put it in the property fund and maybe pay some mortgage off on our investment property, whatever. But the first use is to get a house. It's clearly excellent in its presentation. But friend, I want to tell you, it's just a tool. It's just a tool to reach more people. We are about people, not about buildings, but it will do us a power of good. So I want to invite you to really join with us. I believe it's a time to be bold. The last 3 years as a church, we've been establishing ourselves, a lot of our systems, our leadership, our staff, and so forth. Clarification has been worked through a lot of areas. Now I believe it's time to go from establishing to being expanding and growing. I've come to a point in my life, I just want to lay it all down. Just don't want to play around at the shallow end of the pool. You know, sitting there with my wet. I want to just dive in the deep end and go for it. Are you with me? I'm not talking about being reckless. We've got good stewardship. We've got brilliant people around the table. I'm talking about being people of faith. I'm not feeling much faith in the room. I'm feeling some faith from my wife. Are we people of faith? And so, I just want to invite you to, we're going to pray and obey. Please pray, give, and pledge. People have already wanted to come and begin to give. You can just put it straight online, normal account number, just reference it, miracle offering or building pledge or whatever you want to call it. Those funds will go aside. But on the 25th of June, that'll be a miracle offering Sunday. We're going to bring everybody together and we're going to bring it to the Lord. And I'm trusting God that we can come up with $150,000. It's collectively going to be, over that whole course of time, nearly $500,000. We'll have an investment property that's growing in capital value. A tenant can pay it off. In 10 years' time, it will be freehold. Hallelujah. And we will have grown the church. And by the way, when we get it, we'll start another service. They help you grow as well. There are a whole bunch of people that aren't here today because they're working. And if we start a Saturday night or a Sunday night, they can be here. 50, 60 people we estimate at least. Praise God. So we always want to expand. So, okay, if you're kind of come to New Zealand in the last 12 months, you may not know this, but all of our giving to charities, we are allowed to claim. The government say if you give to a registered charity, which we are, you can get a third of it back. So if you give $100 during the year, you can claim $33.33. You can buy chewing gum with the 33 cents. Maybe you can't these days, actually. No, you can't. Okay, erase that comment. I'm living in the past. All those receipts, I know more than half of you have taken yours already. Those receipts with a miracle offering envelope is up in the book table. Thank you, Gloria has got it up there. Also, if you want to know, how do I claim that money? What's the process? We have got our very own Grace Hahn. She's an accountant. She will help you. She'll be at the book table there. If you don't want to claim it, we do. Oh, no, I gave it all to the Lord. It's the Lord's money. I want to take it from the government. They take enough of mine already. And yours, just quietly. And they spent on all kinds of ridiculous things. Why don't we claim it and get ourselves a building? If everybody just simply gave their offering, their donation rebate, we'd have this thing nailed. We'd have it. We'd have the very building that you want. Man, lattes. Converse, no rushing out the door because the security guard's telling us we've got to leave. You can hang, you can sleep, you can talk, you can minister, we can, oh man, we can do it, eh? What about maybe a studio for recording, training? I mean, who knows what we can do? But I know it's time. It's time to have a go, and it's time to step out of the boat. So will you join us in doing that? I want to give you two more things. There's two more things I want to let you know. I didn't mention it last week. Kids and youth. We have been evaluating the growth of our kids and our youth. Both have been growing, and you may not know this, but collectively, we have over 100 humans and growing. And I think we all understand the importance of that age group. We understand the enemy has an agenda for that age group. We understand that they are our future, and we understand that we need to invest in those ministries. So we have made a decision, just to let you bring you all up to speed, we are employing a new part-time staff member 2 days a week dedicated to children and youth. We are beyond the point now of just relying on wonderful volunteers. With 100, I mean, most churches in the country are smaller than that. I don't know if you knew that, around about 70 people. So it's a little church all on its own. So I want to let you all know that at the end of this year or towards the early next year, we are bringing Mike Erazo on staff. Where's that next picture there? That's that crazy dude there. We just got to go to the next level. I can see a youth service. I can see outreach happening in our building. Mikey's awesome. Covenant relationship. He and his wife have done a brilliant job with Children's Church. So they as a couple will be overseeing both. Katrina will lean more heavily to children and Mike to youth. But as a couple, they will be the directors. He will be a staff member employed 2 days a week. And I honor him that we won't be able to match what he's currently getting. But he is prepared to step out of the boat and do what God's called him to do. And we believe our children are absolutely worth it. Can I hear an amen? The second thing I want you to know, you know, if you're new here today, you've not been around much longer, I think Wendy Hong will absolutely know this. We're an apostolic movement, and the word apostolic means we move. We're sent ones. We're not just here to have a cozy time and see how big we can get. We want to release people and send them out and start works. And this church and collect with Southside. In fact, we planted Southside originally back in the days, but together we've done Brisbane and Fiji and Melbourne and Sydney North. And we as Essential just last year did Tauranga. But it doesn't stop there. And I just want you to know something. There's no plan beyond, there's a desire, there's a wish, there's a prayer, but I just want to let you know that Hamilton and Wellington are on the radar in my heart, in our heart. And where's our next slide? There we go. I want to plant churches there in the next 3 years. Next 3 years, we're very intentional about identifying leadership. We've changed our model of church planting from the old days, all those ones I mentioned before. Tauranga was a new type of church plant. It's organic, it's connect group based, and it's powerful. And so I just want to let you know that we're going to be planting there when we get the right people. And I want to put an invitation out to you. If you're interested at any level on Wellington or Hamilton, I want to invite you to my house on the 25th of June for lunch and a chat. And just see what's in our heart and see what God might do. All we need is about 3 families and a good leader to go there. And you know what? Wellington, I've got to get there because that's a political capital. Something very strategic about it. And so we're going to go. And I've got some friends down there, Pastor Bruce Bauer. We need to get some wisdom, do a bit of homework. There's a long lead time. We're not talking this year, probably not even next year. But the one after, I think, sounds pretty darn good. I think we're probably going to hit Hamilton first. It's closer. It's easier. We might even work with Tauranga and plant a church down there in H-Town. We have dear friends down there and family. So if you're interested in any level, I don't want to go on about this. It's very exciting. but it's in my heart. We've got to go. I want to do 20 churches before I die. God willing, with generosity, with intentional development of leaders and releasing people, we can do it. And alongside other great movements, we can build healthy churches, Christ-centered churches, Bible-based churches that share the gospel, God blooming heck, actually share the gospel and actually give the good news and do what Jesus said we can do. Who would sign up for that? Surely we're not content with 3 cars, a boat, and a huge house. Surely not. Kids' church, youth, buildings, disciples, baptisms, cities, adventure. I don't know about you, but that just makes me awake. That makes me alive. Can I just, as I close this portion and move into a little homily, just need to say that God usually heals us, helps us, leads us, guides us, answers prayers as we are about his business. Very rare is it appropriate or recommended to completely get out of the game. Maybe if there's extreme circumstances, extreme brokenness, and an absolute need, that would be very rare. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but as a general rule, I'm telling you, as Pastor Ken used to say, I still remember it now, a dog in the hunt don't know he's got fleas. Shall I repeat it with the accent? No. You get the idea. When we're all about me and I want to get married, I don't know. And we're doing sweet nothing. Get busy with sharing the gospel, reaching your friends, get to church, get to connect group, get busy, give, and God will answer your prayers and lead and guide, and you'll get healthy and strong as you move forward and be on mission. Please, someone give me an amen. Amen. Psalm 127, verse 1. Our series is called Build. Everyone say build. Oh, I like that. It says build. It says in Psalm 127, 1, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. It doesn't mean we don't work or labor. What it means is everything we do is submitted, surrendered to him. And I want to tell you, that is the heartbeat of the eldership and the leadership. We're not here to, our heart is to build what God wants us to build. And he is the chief builder. We're the tradies. I'm the apprentice. God is the architect, the designer, and the builder of the house, and he delegates it to human authority, hopefully anointed, gifted, and called. But I want to tell you something. He's got to build this house, otherwise it's not going to happen. We're just not that smart, not that intelligent. The question is, how do we build? Last week we talked about who we are and what we do, and I'm not going to quote that for the sake of time. But today I want to just answer the question, how do we, as Every Nation Ministries globally, and how do we as Every Nation Auckland Central and Tauranga, how do we build? You know, whether it's a career or a family or building a house or building a church, there are these things called core values. They're like the invisible infrastructure or substructure of a building. You can't see the pillars and the purloins and and all the other names of the construction, which I cannot remember right now. But you often don't see them. I mean, you do see, you know, exposed beams from time to time, but you get the point of what I'm trying to say. They're often not seen, but they actually hold the whole thing up. They're called core values. Core values are guiding principles that dictate behavior. They dictate action. They support the vision, and they shape culture. And I want to tell you today, we have 5 core values that we hold most dear. These are actually non-negotiables. We can negotiate, should church start at 10:30, 11 o'clock, I don't know. We can negotiate all kinds of operational matters, but these are non-negotiables. These are the things that we put out there for anybody who wants to join our church. This is what we uphold, it's what we believe. It flavors, it shapes it. Everything that we do is coming out of these 5 values that we hold in our core. I wonder if you know what they might be. The first one is lordship. This one actually is the most important because all the others will flow out of it. When this is in place, when Jesus is Lord, not just Savior, but Lord. See, Lord is who He is. Saving is what He does. We forget about it. If you go through Scripture, He says, Jesus is Lord and Savior. We all sign, oh, I want to be saved, Lord. I want to go to heaven. I want to get free of my bad feelings and my guilt. But when it comes to lordship, we often struggle. I know I did for years. It's almost like people get saved, then they have to also get the revelation of God's lordship. Because Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords, we at Every Nation believe that wholehearted submission to Jesus Christ and His Word is the starting point and the foundation for spiritual growth. Some people may even accuse us of being legalistic, over the top. I hope not. But I'm not even going to take the time right now. But there are scriptures about following, taking up your cross. If you can't even do this, you can't even be my disciple. Jesus qualifies being a disciple with lordship. Why would He call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? If I've heard it a million times in this church. Are we ready? If Christ is not Lord of all, He is not Lord. Let me share with you a little story. This might help us understand the idea of lordship. It's about a three-year-old boy. His name was Harry. And there was a mother and there was a father and there were three kids, a seven-year-old, a five-year-old, and a three-year-old. And the three-year-old was called Harry. The parents were trying to teach the kids some basic table manners. They set one simple rule. No one gets down from the table until they finish all their food and have parents' permission to leave. The new policy was working great for 2 days. On the third day, the youngest, the three-year-old, tried to be invisible and slipped down the chair and began tippy-toeing across to the kitchen. You see, he tried to make a break when Mum and Dad were distracted with the older two. Dad says, Harry, come, sit down. Harry says, but I want some milk, as he inched closer to the kitchen. Dad says, Harry, you know you're not supposed to get down from the table until you finish eating, but I need some more milk. See? And as he said, see, he tipped half a glass of milk down his leg. Dad responds, Harry, sit down now, okay? But I'm thirsty, says Harry. Dad could now sense that this was going on forever. It was going nowhere. So he changed his approach and he foolishly thought he could reason with a three-year-old. And he said, Harry, who's the boss? Harry was very honest. He looked at Dad straight in the eyes and he said, you and me, Dad. They couldn't help it, of course. Mum and Dad and the other two, they burst out laughing as they watched three-year-old Harry with milk dripping down his leg, actually believing he has equal authority as his father. But it's not very funny when three-year-old Christians think they have equal authority with God. Nor is it funny when God says, don't get down from the table. And it's certainly not funny when God asks you, who's the boss? And you say, you and me, God. So let's get one thing straight round here. Lordship means that Jesus is the boss. Not you. Not me. God is boss. He makes the rules. He calls the shots. And our job is to listen and obey. That's lordship. Most of our drama is because we just don't do lordship. At least that's my problem. There are areas still in my life. I'm wrestling with God. It's kind of a you and me God moment. God, I deserve just to be completely lazy on Mondays. Do you know what my week looked like? God, I'm tired of being nice to everybody. Can I not just be me occasionally? It's my day off, God. I mean, I know they're asking me about Jesus and that, but it's my day off. I'm joking, but you get the idea. If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Number two, evangelism. Second core value is evangelism. God's heart to reach the lost. There's this crazy little story in Luke 15. It's just credible, really, because the Pharisees are actually complaining to Jesus because he hangs out with sinners. Shock, horror. What is it about church people and religious people that spend all their life with Christians? And Jesus shares a little story, a little parable, a whole bunch of them, but he's got one in particular, which I think is fascinating and slightly odd. He says, well, he once was a farmer. He had 100 sheep. And one got lost, and the text tells you, he left the 99 in the wilderness. I think that's an important point. And he went after the one, and he brought the one back, carrying him on his shoulder, and he says there's more joy in heaven when one gets saved other than 99. But don't you find it fascinating? It actually says they left the 99 in the wilderness. Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't make sense to me. It's the wilderness. It's not, you know, I don't know, take him to the local creche. Can you look after the 99 or to the local shepherd? Can you look after the 90? He left the 99 in the wilderness, unsupervised, vulnerable, to go after the one. And it says in the text, until he was going to find it. We don't know whether he went overnight. I mean, it's a parable. You're not going to pull too much theology from that. But who knows? He might have gone overnight. You see, the math, that Jesus' ideas of math is really different. If we were to take maybe a modern-day motivational language kind of angle on this, we would have a glass of water 99% full. And I would ask the question, is the glass of water 99% full or 1% empty? I'm pretty confident all of us would say 99% full. But Jesus would say 1% empty. See, his priorities are very different to ours. Souls. Hearts. It's a kind of strange story. I don't often do this, but I'm about to quote an atheist. A very challenging quote. Atheist Penn Jillet. I can't even tell whether that's a male or female, but there we go. This is what the question they ask. How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them about it? I've got to read that again. How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them about it? Is that challenging or what? Third core value in this church: lordship, evangelism, discipleship. Maybe you've heard that word before. Every nation's first is first and foremost about making disciples. We're committed to following that wherever it may lead. If it means we plant churches that are large or small or influential or obscure or popular or persecuted, whatever it is, making disciples is what we do. There's no plan B, there's only plan A. We make disciples. Are you a disciple? Are you a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you making disciples? Am I making disciples? That's the million-dollar question. It's not for the evangelist, it's for the Christian. It's not for the pastor, it's for the Christian. It's not for the staff member, it's for the Christian. We make disciples. Amen. Fourth core value in our church, and none of these are really new to many of you, but it's good. I think it's like years since I've even kind of preached it and presented it. But it's how we build. Leadership. We believe in developing leaders. That's why I don't preach every Sunday. You know, you go to some churches and it's the pastor who always preaches. It's why I don't always pray for every need. It's the reason I don't lead every ministry. It's the reason why we run Disciple Makers Freedom Weekend in ENLI. It's the reason we send people over to schools in Manila or the US or Hawaii or wherever. It's why we send people to conferences. It's the reason why we train and equip and honor our volunteers. The reason is simply this: to identify, to develop leaders. Because if we don't do that, there's no way in heaven that we're going to be able to plant churches and leaders. And there's no way we're going to better start multiple services. I'm already thinking who can lead that second service in our new building. Doesn't need to be me. Besides, you don't want to hear from me every week anyway, do you? I would get bored with me. I love the fact we've got about 18 to 20 competent speakers right here. That's the reason we develop leaders, so we can grow and we can move on. We're going to plant churches, hallelujah. I love Apostle Paul was excellent at developing leaders. He says in 2 Timothy 2:2, and these things that you, Timothy, have heard from me, Paul, among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Number one criteria for being developed in this church is faithfulness. Some people want to change the world, they want to run a department, they want to get on the worship team, but they can't even get to church on time. Being faithful. We take faith as an acronym. It's actually our grid for identification of leaders. F, faithful. A, available. I, involved. T, teachable. Ooh, this is one of those moments. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, are you teachable? Ask them, are you teachable? Be honest now, you can't lie in church. And H stands for hungry. Being faithful. And here's the thing. Raising leaders is hard work. It's messy, isn't it? All of our ministries are going through development. That's why we don't just showcase on the stage here on Sunday morning necessarily our technically best people. We're trying to raise leaders. Raising children gets messy. You get jammed down here and you get forks and spoons in the wrong area. I mean, just raising leaders takes time. We believe, and I do not want to hire anybody from outside of this church or outside the Every Nation movement. I want to raise sons and daughters in this place who carry the heart of God, who carry the heart of this house, and raise them up and disciple them and help them and train them and send them out and believe in them. That's what we're about. I think it's cheap and easy to just go and hire some talented dude from another church. Really? I've heard too many stories where they're philosophically not aligned, all kinds of issues, and it just busts up and splits, man. We don't do it that way. We don't do hirelings. We raise them up. Number five, our fifth core value is a beautiful F word, family. Family. We refuse to sacrifice our marriages and our children on the altar, the temporary altar of ministry. I've been married to Chrissy for 29 glorious years. We've been parents for 27 of them. In 29 years, we have made a lot of decisions. Some we regret. Some were not the right decision. But one decision we got right. We made a decision that we were not going to sacrifice our family for ministry. We made a decision that we were going to do ministry in such a way that our children would know that they are more important than the church. That one we got right. Many others we didn't. So I'm sorry. Actually, I'm not. My children are more important to me than you. Number one priority. And for those that have children, I hope they're more important to you than me. You're extremely important to me, but my children are precious. We don't sacrifice family for ministry. It doesn't mean you don't do ministry. It means you do it in such a way that they know they're more important. You know, one of the greatest compliments that I think I've ever received as a pastor is when people come amongst us And I get feedback, not all the feedback. Probably wouldn't want to hear all the feedback, but it's a frequent comment back to me, words to this effect. It feels like family. Even with our multiculturalism, it feels like a family. That for me is more weighty than great sermon, Pastor. Or I love your musicians. Really. In this nation, in this time, with all of our brokenness, there's so much need for a spiritual family. People here even call me dad, uncle, kuya. We have beautiful, affectionate terms for other men and women here, uncles and aunties and parents, and it's beautiful. It's kingdom, it's heaven, it's needed. Family. We are family. It's a core value. And that means sometimes that we don't maybe have the broad commercial appealing to consumerist Christians. I don't really care about that. But it does always mean that there's an empty chair at the table every time. There's always room at the table for one more. When that chair is taken, there's another room at the table for another. We've always got, while there is someone not yet with God, someone who's far from God, we've got work to do, ladies and gentlemen, to welcome them to the family. There's a reason that we don't let people serve in our church until they've been inducted. It's a spiritual joining, you'll find it throughout Acts, an actual being established. It's a spiritual, very spiritual transaction. It's not just a ceremony. We take family very, very seriously. And we have a lot of fun doing it too, don't we? So as I close, famous last words from the preacher. This is how we build. Lordship, it starts at lordship. Evangelism, not the needs and wants of the church, evangelism. Then discipleship, that's the needs and the wants of the church. Leadership, family. Those five ways, those five core values, those five things that we hold most dear, non-negotiables, flavor, uphold, develop, they shape everything we do. Our elders are charged with the responsibility to guard those, that we would not deter into other areas, but they hold us up and hold us together. Praise God. And I want to pray, and as we close our build series, as we believe God, as we believe Him fervently, as we give generously to our miracle offering, as we sign up to serve and get involved and carry the weight, as we serve God, as we walk together in unity, that we would walk together in unity and learn how to do family exceedingly well. As we do this, ladies and gentlemen, I believe we will continue to grow. We'll continue to expand. We'll continue to enlarge. We'll grow not just in number, but grow in our influence and grow in our spiritual zeal and grow in our sense of family and being strong and being together, being whānau, being united as one. And I look forward in the next 12 months to seeing others being added to these lines as we increase and we adopt and we connect. And I say this not that every nation or Richard Urban would in some way take any credit. This is about the honor of God. It's about the praise of Jesus. It's about the glory of God. We don't touch the anointed. It's only God that can do this, and it's God that will continue to do it. And we say, God, You are the architect and the builder of our house. Have Your way. May it be glorious and beautiful and radiant and powerful as we advance and we move and our children and our youth and our facilities and we plant churches. Father, right now in this holy moment, we stand united, Lord, arm in arm, hand in hand, and we come before You and we just honor You today. We can do nothing without you. Our nation desperately needs you. Our neighbors need you. And news is full of heinous crimes and brokenness. How young people have been ripped apart. Morality is declining. Lord, I pray that we would be the church, Jesus, that was birthed in your heart, your girl, your bride. It's holy, it's beautiful, it's relevant, it's missional. Lord, I pray that the church in your heart would be us, that we could do that and we would be obedient and we'd have fun and we'd just, Lord, get to the end and you would say, well done, good and faithful servant. Corporately and collectively we come before you, but also as individual men and women, that each of us would receive the well done, good and faithful servant. I pray the blessing on the house of the Lord. I pray as we now walk out this year, this calendar year, but beyond that into the whole financial year, right through, we trust you, we believe you for Lord, our goals and our plans. Lord, it's a faith goal. We don't know how we're going to do it all exactly, but Lord, we're prepared to step out of the boat and walk on the water as you called Peter to do. We're prepared to step across the Jordan as you said to Joshua, stay in my word day and night and you will see great exploits. Lord, we believe in your faith, Father. We believe when you told Abraham to leave the land. Lord, let us be a people of faith. Lord, when you said to David, go forward and deal with the Goliath. Lord, when you so many people, Lord Gideon, Lord Jesus, Daniel, Lord, so many people through your scriptures. Lord, I pray heroes, Lord, will begin to rise up in this church. People will begin to believe, Lord, to reject passivity, Lord, to reject complacency, to reject apathy, Lord, and be involved and give, and Lord, to serve you with a pure heart. Lord, I just pray for that right now. As we lay everything before you, take it. Use it for your glory, we pray. In your precious name, we all say, amen. May the Lord bless you, may he keep you, may his face shine upon you. Thank you, Lord.